Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 856 Ashrama. It's a common word in Indian languages and has now entered Western languages also, understood to mean a place where people live together for the sake of spiritual cultivation. That's the generally understood meaning. In Indian languages, the word shram is also well known. It means work, hard work. And the root, the Sanskrit root of shram means like that too, something painful, something that causes difficulty. So ashrama, it means the opposite of shrama. Just like gamana means going and agaman means coming, or dan means giving and adan means receiving. So similarly, shram means hard work, toil, labor, difficulty. And ashram means a place of relief from that. Hermitage, we could use in English, it's a bit of an archaic word because we don't find hermits much in the Western world anymore. Not in the traditional sense of being religiously dedicated people who go away from the bustle of the world to live in solitude or near solitude for the sake of God. Prashabhata, as usual, when he's commenting on a name, on Vishnu Sahasranam, he combines the interpretation of one name or a group of names together. So he sees a flow in the names. Previously, just now when he's saying about Yogi, Yogisha, how the Supreme Lord, being the master of the yogis, arranges for them to get some benefit, maybe not the original desired benefit from practicing yoga, if they don't make it in one life or if they fall away, they get the lesser benefit. They get promotion to the heavenly planets. But then, as Bhagavad Gita states, Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, when they have finished their term up in the heavenly worlds, prapya punya kritam lokam ushidva shashvati samaha shuchinam shrimatam gehe yoga brashto bijayate. When they're finished, instead of getting spiritual benefit, it gets converted into some mundane punya or pious benefit due to desire. Therefore, as we were just speaking, sarva kamada, we have to be careful what we desire. He gives the results of all desires. So the yogi, he desires, the real yogi desires to go to Krishna, but if he's sidetracked by some material desires, then Krishna, as sarva kamada, gives him a place in the heavenly worlds. But then knowing his full desire, he gives him a place in a grihastha ashram, which Parashabhata says, it's like a place of rest. It's a place of relief. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his songs, sings, Sangsara fuka kane na poshibe. The term tumultuous cacophony of the world. People, this is going on, what's going on, that, that, this, that, this, that, this, that, so many things. No more will it enter my ears even. He's thinking of that. So it's a place of rest from materialistic life to be born in the houses of Vaishnavas. Of course, when Parashrabhata says Vaishnava, he means the follower of Ramanuja. That was the only Vaishnava sampradaya active at that time, what we would now call a sampradaya, which was active at that time, because the others, the other prominent Vaishnava sampradayas came later. So the yogi who goes away from the world to practice yoga and is unsuccessful, Krishna arranges for him to be born in a house, or the best of them, the most fortunate of them, get born in a house of Vaishnavas. So instead of going away from the world and being renunciant, they can be born in the house of a Vaishnava. And in this way, they're not aloof from the world, they're in the world, so to speak, but they're in association of Vaishnavas. That means that to be in a house of Vaishnavas, to be in the Grihastha Ashram as a Vaishnava, is more conducive for spiritual advancement than to go away to try to practice spiritual life, because association is needed. Rest. It's a place of rest. He gives the idea it's a place of rest, relief. This rest theme has been taken up by another commentator, Sri Radha Krishna Shastri, and he says that Bhagavan gives rest from the turmoil of material life, samsara, in various ways, including the ashram, vanaprastha ashram, retirement from material family life for the sake of spiritual advancement, and then sannyasa ashram, complete renunciation of family life for the sake of spiritual advancement. He also gives the idea, Radha Krishna Shastri, that Krishna gives everyone some rest from the turmoil of material life in sleep. Of course, if one is very much harassed by materialistic thoughts, then even at night he won't sleep. He'll be in so much anxiety, or he'll have restless sleep. This we hear in the song, Bhaja Hure Mana Srinanda Nandana, that the poet Govinda Kaviraj says, Chita Atapa Bata Borishana Edina Jamani Jagire. The material life means sometimes too cold, sometimes too hot, sometimes there's tornadoes, winds, and then rain. And then there's just day and night harassed by all these things, and you just can't sleep at night. Getting free from this means we have to associate with devotees. There's a very beautiful verse which was quoted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami from Srimad Bhagavatam. When Muchukunda, the king, said to Krishna, Bhava Pavargo Brahmato Yata Bhavij Janasya Tarhyachuta Satsamagamaha Satsangamo Yarhi Tadaiva Sadgato Paravareshe Twai Jayate Matihi. When the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, or when it's just about to cease, O Achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees. And when he associates with them, there awakens in him devotion to you, who are the goal of the devotees and the Lord of all causes and their effects. So you get rest from material life. Rest from material life, it's better than just going to sleep, as Radha Krishna Shastri says. There's also, Radha Krishna Shastri says, samadhi, and finally, moksha, release from material life. But devotees, for them, simply to get into some kind of impersonal samadhi or get released from material life, now they get rest, relief from material life by association with devotees. By association with devotees who are always absorbed in praising Krishna, serving Krishna, then naturally, sangat sanjayate kama, one gets a similar desire. The most beneficial thing for a conditioned soul, or even for a developed, a transcendentalist, is association with devotees, because they want to help us to come up. They want to help us. They can see if we're serious to come up, or even if we're not serious, if we somehow associate with devotees, that will help us to come up, as long as we don't make offenses. Baladev Vidyabhushan gave a similar understanding to the name ashram. He says the same thing. Similarly, he says, they enjoy in heaven, the yogis, and then he situates them in an ashram, because the home of a devotee, it's a grihastha ashram. It's not just a joint mess, a place where people come to eat and socialize, but it's living together. Bhakta jane grihe. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings. He wants to be born in the house of a devotee. Kita janma hau jadi tua das. Chatur mokha brahma janma nahi mora ash. He'd rather be born as a, well, slightly off topic, he'd rather be born as an insect if he can be a devotee, but not even a brahma if not a devotee. Shankaracharya says that he's like and one of the 10 names that Shankaracharya gave, of course it's from Shastra, but he gave these names for sannyasis, Dashanami Sannyasi. There are 10 names or titles which are given to sannyasis. One of them is ashram. We have the names are there, Puri, Tirtha, Ashram, Vana, Parvat, Giri, Saraswati, Bharati, Sagar, and one other which I don't remember the name. Let's try again. Puri, Tirtha, Ashram, Giri, Parvat. Parvat is one more, so that makes 10. So one of them is Ashram. Suitable for sannyasis to be in an ashram. Bhagavan is called ashram because he's like a place of refuge, of peace for those who wander in the forest of material life. In the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, we have the description of the forest of material enjoyment, and it's not nice. It's very good to read this from time to time, just to dissipate our wrong or malefic attraction toward all that which is keeping us away from Krishna, desires for material enjoyment. The actually horrific situation of being in material life. So Bhagavan Shankara says he is an ashram. He is himself an ashram. He's called the ashram. We are with the idea that he gives shelter, and again that bhava pavargo, just when one is after a million, how many lifetimes have we passed in this material world? Simply suffering and suffering and suffering. And we're just thrown from one body to another, or not even thrown, it's just like we eagerly grab on next term of suffering because we want to be separate from Krishna. And at last we come to that place where there is shelter. Krishna, he is the source of everything, and by definition he's not dependent on anything or anyone else. That's the meaning of absolute. So then again we relate with a recent name, Swadhrita. Adhrita, he's not supported by anything else. Swadhrita, he is the support of everything. Everything else for its existence depends on something else. We want shelter, so we look for shelter in family, in money, our home, the building, our house, that gives physical shelter. But in English we have these words, house and home. There's a feeling that it's more than just a house, it's my home. It's a place where we want to get shelter. With the idea, people get married and they think, it'd be very nice living at home. It's not always so nice. We take shelter of work, we have workaholics. They don't want to stop to think about what they're doing, because if they stop, it's too horrific to come face to face with their actual situations. They just work and work and work. We take shelter of our position, prestige, or maybe it's position or whatever. It may not be a high position of our community. It may be just like in India, we have all these castes and then subcastes and then below castes, and then we take shelter. The Dalits come together and we're all Dalits and we're all fighting for the same cause. We identify in something. So we all take shelter of something, but then whatever it is depends on something else. If we take shelter of a community, a Dalit community, well, that depends on an identity, which is some kind of imaginary identity, because imaginary in the sense that humans are all biologically the same, in most, basically, but there are social constructs which we construct, and then we identify with one of them, we take shelter of them. So the very construct of Dalit or Brahmana or Baniya or whatever it may be, it all depends on a socio-psychological construct. And that is something to do with our egoism, and then the egoism that arises from forgetfulness of Krishna. Or if we take shelter of money, money is generated, it's something that exists in human society, we don't see it in other societies. And then the money, the whole concept of money, the whole economic system, everything depends on everything else. And we go further and further, and Krishna is the cause of all causes. Even to depend on money, we have to be in the physical world, and there's the whole universe, and that depends on Krishna. So Krishna is the ultimate shelter. We take shelter of money. We take shelter of family. We take shelter of our country. We take shelter of our religion. Can be, without having great faith in God, we take shelter in religion, just as a kind of psychological make us feel good sop, without any real deep desire to know God. But to know Him, to really come to Krishna, means to come to the ultimate shelter. This is very nicely stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhotatma purusha krishna padamulam namunchati mukta sarva pariklesha pantha sva sharanang yata. Pariklesha, this word gives the same understanding as shrama. And sharanam means shelter. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation, a pure devotee of the Lord whose heart has once been cleansed by the process of devotional service never relinquishes the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, for they fully satisfy him, as a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. Ah, satisfied. Now I got shelter. Now peace. Now I feel shelter, full shelter, which we don't even get in the impersonal Brahman. We may feel, ah, I got rest, I got relief from material life, but we didn't get shelter because of neglecting Krishna's lotus feet. Satyadeva Vashishta takes a different interpretation of this name. He takes it to mean as a reinforcement or an intensifier of the word shram. So, ashram would mean non-shram, which means not difficulty. But then ashram or ashram becomes an intensifier, and Satyadeva Vashishta explains this, that he, Vishnu, is called ashram because he makes the jivas endure repeated birth in this world according to their karma. He sets up the system whereby we have to suffer in this world due to forgetfulness of him. So he makes that. And those who want to get free from the suffering of material existence, but they don't want to take up the simple process of surrender to Krishna, they also have to go through a lot of suffering in the form of austerity. So either way, it's suffering. When we're fed up with all of this, when we're fed up with a hard struggle for existence, turn to Krishna. Artha, that is one of the four kinds of pious people who turn to Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Artha, the distressed, they turn to Krishna. So when we're fed up with a hard struggle for existence, then we turn to him. So if we don't turn to him, then we have to work hard and struggle and suffer. Work hard and struggle and suffer for so-called material benefits. Or if we realize that this struggle for material benefits is useless and worthless, but we still don't want to surrender to Krishna, then we have to struggle hard as a tapasvi, doing austerities to try to get rid of the desire for material enjoyment. So, Satya Sundar Tirtha interprets the name ashram. He is the Lord of those who have no shram. When we're finished with all this, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sokale ashanta. Those who want material enjoyment, those who want liberation, those who want yogic perfections, none of them are peaceful in mind. Krishna bhakta nishkama teva shanta. The devotee of Krishna has no such desire, therefore he is peaceful. Mystic, we're talking about the yogis going for mystic powers. The scientists, the modern day scientists, they don't believe in yoga, mystic power. But they're trying to do fantastic things like going to the different planets and manipulating genetic codes. They're trying to overtake the role of God in overseeing the universe, oversee all the laws of nature. Regarding this, Srila Prabhupada said, the scientists and philosophers who want to overcome the mystic power of Krishna challenge Krishna, saying, what is God? We can do this and we can do that. But the more they challenge Krishna in this way, the more they are implicated in suffering. That's from Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text 44. So they want to get free from shrama, from the suffering of this world, but they have to work so hard to make all these discoveries, scientific discoveries. And even when they make the discovery just makes life more complicated, as we see in the present age. Life is so complicated with all these technological advancements. Another meaning of the name ashrama. Those who are liberated from material existence, they're called mukta, and they are ashramaha, because they have no more shrama. Ashrama means no shrama. And then, because Vishnu is the Lord of the muktas, then by Sanskrit grammatical rules, because he's the Lord of them, he's called ashrama. We just had the name ashrama, and now we have shramana. So you can hear, they sound very similar. Ashram, shramana. Name 857, shramana. So shramana means someone who accepts shrama, who accepts difficulty specifically for the sake of spiritual elevation. So it means a yogi, someone who's austere, an ascetic. There is an ancient there was an ancient widespread cult in India, disorganized it seems, called the Shramanas. It was a non-Vedic religion. Religion is an English word. but it was influenced by and similar to something like Jainism and Buddhism, although they won't admit it, it's very so many similarities with the Vedic religion, but from the Vedic perspective, a heretical offshoot of it. And sometimes the Jains and Buddhists, their ascetics are also considered shramana. It's all interacting and ongoing. So there was a widespread cult where there's no literature of that cult left, if they ever produced any, but is referred to in ancient texts. So, what is it? Oh, also the shamans, there was Ajivika. Ajivika, that was a widespread cult. Gone, lost, no loss to the world. So, what does it mean? Vishnu is working very hard for spiritual development. Parashrabhata, he continues this thread by saying that similar to the meaning he gave for the name ashram, how he is supportive of those who do not complete their yoga process in one birth. And he makes it easy for those, he takes the trouble. It's not trouble for him, but he makes a note to help those who are taking the trouble to try to come to him, that after placing them in the houses of devotees, or even maybe in Srimatham, can mean in the house of some wealthy, pious people, Then what happens in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Tatratang buddhi sangyogam nabhate pauravadehikam yatate chatato bhuya sangsidho kurunandana. Which means that in course of time, his consciousness awakens. He again wakens to the yoga, or to the yoga practice, or the tendency which he had in a previous life. And then he goes on and endeavors more and more until he comes to the ultimate perfection. Baladev Vidyabhushan says almost the same. He quickly makes them resume the practice. He makes them shramayati. He makes them get back to work, the yogis, because the impressions they had previously acquired are not lost. Despite so much enjoyment in the heavenly world, whatever they've done in yoga practice is not lost. Neha bhikramanasho si pratyavayo na vidyate. There's no loss in the practice of spiritual life, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So he helps them to revive the consciousness of their previous life. Shankaracharya gives a very different understanding. He says that shraman means that he gives trouble to those who are not discriminatory, who do not exercise the intelligence given them in human life to discriminate between matter and spirit, between what should be done and what should not be done. He uses the word avivekinaha, those who are non-discriminatory. Avivekinaha sarvan santapayati iti shramana. This word vivek is very important for Shankara and his followers. Shankaracharya, one of his, maybe his most famous and important, well, of course, his Sharirika Bhasha on Vedanta Sutra, that outlines his Advaitavad, his philosophy of oneness. But Vivek Churamani is it's an admonition to take up the life of Vivek, to apply yourself to seeing the difference between matter and spirit, and apply oneself to the path of liberation. So that's a very important word for him, and he says that those who don't do this, then they have to continue suffering in this world. And shraman, he says, means one who ordains the suffering for those. So the word vivek is very important. Vivekananda is famous as what is called Neo-Advaita, or it's not exactly the same as Shankara's, especially in, anyway. In the matter of sadhacha, there's some serious gaps. Anyway, that's the law. Discriminate, act discriminatorily, or we have to suffer. Radha Krishna Shastri explains this, that Bhagavan is giving the right path for us, for attaining him. And those who don't want to follow, then mrityu samsara vartmani ashadadhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mangle vartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Krishna says, for those who don't have faith in what I'm giving, they have to continue in materialistic life. They have to go on with repeated birth and death. That's just the way it is. We have to suffer. We have to suffer means we have to do hard work, That's called pavarga. Apavarga means release, moksha, release from material existence. Pavarga means material existence, just like quoted from Bhagavatam, Muchukunda, pava pavargo. Bhava means material existence, repeated birth and death. Then apavargaha means freedom from that. So pavarga means material life, just like we have in the Sanskrit alphabet. We have the pavarga, kaparga, kapar, kavarga, chavarga, tavarga, then pavarga. Pavarga means pa, five letters means pa, means the first one is parishrama, shrama, hard work. This is material life. pavarga, pa means pena, fena, foaming at the mouth, just like a horse. You work them so hard and they'll foam at the mouth. Then ba is sometimes taken as ba and va are interchangeable in Sanskrit, according to some. So vyartata, it's all useless, meaningless. And bha, bhaya, fear, this is material life. And what do you get at the end of it all? Ma, mrityu. So material life means pavarga. It means hard work, foaming at the mouth, useless work. Bifale shevinu kripana durajana chapala shukala balagire. Same song we're quoting from Govinda Das. Uselessly serving a mean person. For what? Just to get a little bit of insignificant, temporary, material happiness. This is material life. So vyartata, uselessness, pointlessness, fear, and then death. And then again birth, because it's called bhava. Again birth, for another life of struggle. So that's it. It's a tormenting experience to be in material life. We should think about it. We should be grateful to Shankara for pointing this out and pointing out the Vedic path, although the real Vedic path means to follow the path of the Vaishnavas. Of course, Lord Buddha before him spoke that. Krishna himself spoke that before. The Vedic religion and its offshoots, the dharmic traditions, they very much differ from the Abrahamic traditions in clearly delineating or having the vivek to see. The first thing is to see this material world as a place of suffering, whereas somehow well, that's dharmic religion means is in the higher levels of the dharmic religion. Dharmic path, whereas the Abrahamic religions, they have some funny idea of this world is actually very nice. Very big difference. So, those who seek sensory gratification just by the very nature of material life, what happens? Yehi sangsparsha jabhoga dukha yonya evate adyantavanta kontayana teshu ramate buddha. The very nature of trying to get material contact, contacting the senses with the sense enjoyments, any more than is needed for the upkeep of the body, the effect of that is going to be suffering. Therefore, an intelligent person, viveki, he doesn't take part in this suffering. That's the law. We'll just get worn out. Well, hopefully we will get worn. We get worn out and then we get enthusiastic again. That's the law. Narayan is the lawgiver. It's tough. That's the way it is. Another meaning, Narayana Rishi, Nara Narayana Rishi, took the role of shramans or yogis for the welfare of the world. Another reason they perform austerities is the yogis, you may think, why are they going away from the world just for themselves? But many of them, they do, at least in pristine times, they would think that by performing these very pious activities of yoga and austerity, then we're benefiting the world. We're correcting the karmic balance, because there's so much lust and greed and anger and envy in this world. So someone who's saintly, just by their presence in this world, they help to mitigate and bring to a balance. They mitigate all the evil things within it. So Nara and Rishi did that. Satyasandha Tirtha interprets Shraman, the name, as he who gives shelter to the sannyasis. Sannyasis, really, we say there's brahmacharya ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram, sannyas ashram. Really, the ashram in this terms of the four orders of life, the real ashram is the sannyas ashram, because in the others, brahmachari, it's a training period. Grihastha is license for sense gratification. They're all meant for spiritual advancement. Vanaprastha means somewhere in between grihastha and sannyas. But sannyas is the real ashram. The most complete is an ashram in the fullest sense of the term, because one has completely, or supposed to have completely, detached oneself from material life and fully taken shelter of Krishna. That's the real meaning of sannyas, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acknowledged when he took sannyas, quoting the prayer of the Avanti Brahmana. What is the meaning of sannyas? Etansa astaya paratna nirshtam adhyasitam purvatamai mahadbi ahantar shami durantaparam tamomukundangri nisheveyava. He says that now I've left the world to take full shelter in the Supreme Lord who's with me, to be fully devoted to him, paramatma. I may wander in the world with no friends, no one to look after me, but paramatma, he's there. Mukunda, he's there. The giver of liberation, he's there. This is the path, the Avanti Brahmana said, which has been followed successfully by many great personalities previously. I also, following this path, will cross over. This is my determination. Although it's very difficult to cross over material life, by accepting this vow of sannyas, I will cross over by taking full shelter of Mukunda, the giver of liberation. I will cross over this darkness of material life by taking full shelter, by serving the lotus feet of Mukunda. So this, and of course, if one has that attitude in any ashram, brahmachari, grihastha, or vanaprastha, then he's a sannyasi, he's a devotee, he's fully sheltered. But the sannyas ashram is meant for, it's practicing in such a way that one really has nothing else to do but to take full shelter of Mukunda. Raghunath Tirtha gives the interpretation, shramanti jananti anena iti shramanam stuti, hi stuti man stuti vishaya shamana. Which means that he is the subject matter of and known by hymns of praise. So that's very similar to the name we've already had, Stavya, the one who is to be praised. So in Vishnu Sahasranam. Then two more meanings somewhat related to those which we've already discussed. By taking difficult vows, kritcha means difficult vows, and chandrayana, specific, very difficult vow, he, Bhagavan, gives great happiness, eternal happiness. So by taking the difficulty, he gives the result of that, therefore he's called Shramana. And he who clears away all the hurdles for those who are striving on the path, the difficult path to attain him, he clears all the hurdles, therefore he's called Shramana. Vanta kalpa taru bhyas chakripa sindhu bhyeva cha patita nam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chuna kang padayo nipatakrit vacha kaku shatameta da humbra vime he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charane kuruta anuragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukaro navayang vichara yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilu tama na tama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.